Joella, for reading that passage of scripture at the start of worship. That was one that I'd had on my list of passages to, you know, read this morning as well, but I decided not to. So it was really cool just to have that sort of read out at the start. So the passage that she read, if you weren't here, was Isaiah 61, which is the prophecy about the year of the Lord's favour, which Jesus then re-quoted again when he came, when he first, if you remember the scene, when he first stood up to preach in a synagogue, this is what he said: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." I'm actually reading from Isaiah 61. "Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound." So that's what Jesus stood up to say. And so we should pay attention to those sorts of things. Hey, good news. Jesus came with good news, freedom, liberty. If you're brokenhearted, Jesus came for you, came for us. Usually at the end of the year, we have our holidays. It's a good time, you know, to take a breather, to try to recharge. So we stop work for a couple of weeks and we get a bit of rest. And I guess the idea is that so by the time the new year rolls around, we're fully recharged and we're ready to go. We're ready to go back to work. And so that's the idea. And but it's not always that straightforward. Last year, I think it was towards the end of the year, I was talking to a colleague and she was so busy, exceptionally busy, and she was tired out. And we're sort of just talking in the corridor. If it was possible to get really good deep rest, but just in a really short amount of times, like in a lunch break or evening or even over just a weekend. And she told me, I think she was sort of half joking, but, you know, probably quite liked the idea that, you know, people would pay good money if you could figure out how to get that kind of rest. And so I've been thinking about it quite a lot, not to make money, but just been thinking about it. And the kind of rest that I'm talking about isn't the kind of rest that you need after running 15 Ks or digging 23 pile holes 1.8 metres deep on a Tuesday. It was hard work. But I'm talking about the rest that is craved by a weary soul, the deep rest that is needed by the deeply tired. Sometimes these things are connected, though, aren't they? So if we push ourselves day in, day out, week after week, if we're toiling away, then it's really, really easy to get weary and we get well and truly worn out. And if we're not careful, then we can do ourselves some actually quite serious physical, emotional, mental, spiritual damage. So let's not do that. What we need to do is to find out how to rest and to rest well. While Tessa and I were away on our break, I was thinking about the year ahead, about this year, and to be honest, trying not to think about it. Haven't really been looking forward to 2017, and yet there's no stopping it, eh? This year was approaching like a freight train. And I was thinking about, oh, there's so much to do. As soon as we get back from our holidays, it's straight into what we've got, our project on our house where we're ambitiously adding 40 square metre extension onto our 70 square metre house and trying to get that all done in 8 weeks, because soon after that our dear wee baby Blip is just going to pop out, yeah. Which I am looking forward to, but pretty freaked out all at the same time, because I've heard that having babies is, well, it's somewhat life-changing. That's what people have said. And then there's all the other stuff, like, you know, work, go to work, and, you know, church can be quite busy as well, and so you have all these things going on, and I was thinking, oh, man, I can't, this is hard to face. And my underlying assumption through this thinking was that with all this stuff going on, I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be worn out, I'm going to be wrecked, going to be sleep deprived. And so this is what I was thinking, and I don't know, does any of that sort of sound familiar with any of you guys? So thinking about this, and then at some point God You know, sometimes he whispers and sometimes he shouts. And the word that I kept on hearing was rest. And so then I'm whispering and I'm shouting back inside, of course. But how can I rest with so much going on? There's no time. There's not going to be any time for holidays or weekends. There's no time. There's no let up. And when will I even get to play my guitar? And still, God keeps coming back with this idea of rest. And it's more than just this idea. It's a hope. It's like, with all of that going on, there's still the hope of rest. With all the busyness in the midst of that. And so I was writing about it. So I'm going to read this morning from the book of 2 James. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thanks. I was expecting a few stones to be thrown. Anyway, don't worry. This is on the 29th of December. So I wrote, rest, shalom, Selah. True rest comes from you, giver of life, breather of life, prince of peace. Resting well means lying in your arms, waking up with fresh vision, inspiration, the breath of the Holy Spirit. Inspire me. Let me see an alternate reality, how things could be when your kingdom invades, when generational curses are broke and brokenness are ended, the broken are healed, and freedom. May 2017 be a year of rest, even with so much going on. You're our shelter from the storm, our fortress, rest. And the next day, sort of feeling a bit differently. Sometimes, Lord, I feel overwhelmed by the year to come. Will you strengthen us and resource us? We need energy, time, and money. Most of all, we need you. In the end, your presence is all we ever need, life itself. Now, I put my book down, and then I picked up my Bible and started reading, and this is what I read in Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength, is my shield. In him, my heart trusts, and I am helped. The Lord is the strength of his people. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Yeah, it's pretty wrecked. When God, you know, replied to my prayer just like that. And the next day, this is on Saturday now. Even short moments, these fragments of time, snatched from among the activity, even in these fractions, you restore, you complete, you strengthen. How many times did you breathe into Adam? One breath more, but one breath is all that's needed. The purity of that air, the essence of life, the infinite source. In short moments that I'm with you, there I'm restored and made new. In those encounters when we're together. So then we had our New Year's Eve party, which was really great. It was really good. And we got up, so that was pretty late night, 2 a.m., and then got up this morning and we went along to our church up in Tauranga. So our church away from home is a Presbyterian church called Bethlehem Community Church. It's where Tessa's parents go. And their minister there, or their reverend, Ian Pittendray, he was preaching. And he was preaching on Psalm 23. So I'll read that one to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't this just the most beautiful picture of rest? Lacking nothing. Being able to lie down. The refreshing. And also the direction. He talks about leading us on those right paths. And when you look at the rest that is pictured in this it's not dependent on our circumstances. He writes, even in the midst of the darkest valley and in the presence of our enemies. So right there in those times, God is there. And he's there with comfort. He's there with dinner. He's there with oil. He's probably given us a good back rub. He's there with goodness and love. So does that mean that there can actually be good rest even when there's turmoil? I love this. Jesus says to us, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." He wants us to know rest. He wants us to have rest for our weary souls. Dad is conveniently away on holiday at the moment in the summer down in Blenheim. Hope it's sunny for him. Yeah, one of the verses that he always reads out, Exodus 33:14. And it's when the Lord is speaking to Moses and he says to him, "My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest." The presence of the Lord and his rest seem to go hand in hand. He's the God who strengthens the weary. And this promise that the Lord gave to Moses, it gave him the confidence to keep going, to keep leading the grumbling Israelites, and to keep leading them, following the Lord towards the land that had been promised. A favorite of mine is Isaiah 40:28-31. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Doesn't matter. You could be young and fit and get worn out. You can be old and wrinkly and be full of strength and full of life. And through all of this, I'm wondering, what if we really don't need 2 weeks of holiday to feel deeply rested? What if the kind of rest that the Bible is talking about is actually not found in having 8 hours of sleep each night? But what if it's simply being found in the company of God and being in his presence? And if so, if this is actually the case, then perhaps we can be rested in the midst of busyness, right in the midst of turmoil and storms and chaos. And in our culture, busyness is held in quite high regard. And I don't want to go on a tangent, but that's probably not the greatest thing. But anyway, being busy can be a badge of significance. It can make us feel worthwhile. And it seems like everybody you talk to is busy. And I don't think that they're just making this up. I think that people are really busy. But I wonder if we as children of God, who is the God of rest, can actually be experiencing and living out of a deep and life-giving rest while still being in this culture of busyness. Yeah, and I've been thinking about this quite a lot, and I sort of wonder if we can be even more productive and more effective and more rested at the same time. Whereas in culture, busyness seems to go hand in hand with being stressed and tired out. But I wonder if there's a sort of an in-between way. I think that we can somehow. I think that this is what Jesus is talking about. "Come to me," he says, "I'll give you rest." And I think that this rest is found in encounters with Jesus. All sorts of encounters. When we find those precious moments alone with him. I love those a lot. But what about when everything is going on? In those moments too, we can pray, "Oh Lord, give me rest. I'm bone weary." At church, during worship, even when we're in the company of others, we've got a direct line to Jesus and we can ask him for a rest. "Strengthen me, Lord. I'm pooped. I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling pretty weak today." At home, when we're washing the dishes, hanging out the washing, digging pile holes. I did it. Changing nappies. I haven't done that yet. Jesus, arrest, please. In doing so, and even just these quick moments, in doing so, we're shifting our focus, our attention to the giver of life. And so it might only be momentary. But this is God, and it only took him 3 words to breathe everything that we can see into creation, into existence. He said, "Let there be," and all of a sudden, there it all is. So it doesn't have to take him long. Even a brief moment with him can be incredibly powerful. So my vision for 2017, and my hope is that it will be a year of rest. I don't know, this could be your vision or something that you press into as well. I want to learn what God's rest is. I wonder if the end of this year, if we can end up feeling more invigorated, more inspired, more full of vim and life than we are now, than we are even after our holidays. Yeah. And I reckon that if we can learn to be strengthened by God himself, that we'll end up feeling so much more alive. We're going directly to the source. And we'll be more able to do the things that he is calling us to do. He's calling us to bring life to our city. You know that? He's bringing us to bring life to those around us, to those at home, to those in our streets, to those people in our workplaces. Because there's tired people out there. They're bone weary. They need a rest. They need to come to the God of rest. He's calling out.